I remember as a kid growing up, we would Thanksgiving was a big deal. Actually, I think Thanksgiving and Easter are probably my favorite holidays now. And I've been eating pumpkin pie early this week just to kind of get myself ready for Thursday. And by the way, doesn't Cool Whip on top of pumpkin pie just go so good? I know you guys, you can have like the real cream too, or the real whatever it's called. But there's like something special about putting that little white stuff on top of pie. It kind of made me happy a couple times this week. So, I just feel so like I'm not a huge cook, okay? So adding whipped cream to my pie is a big deal. So so I did that this week. So anyways, Thanksgiving. So we get together, the family's there, and there's like all this food, you know? And so it's usually crowded, and we would always, growing up, all the food would be on the table. And so literally you'd have your plates and your salad plates, and my mom had like, there's silverware on both sides. There's an order to go, how it goes. I don't know what it is anymore, but there's an order to that. And then we'd have the potatoes and the stuffing and the gravy and the butter and that nasty purple stuff that's jelly stuff that's there. And then you'd have the turkey and the ham and some, seriously, people? Okay, whatever. So anyways, there'd be so much food on there that it actually was a problem passing that all around. Literally, you spent like 10 minutes passing stuff. And you'd have to, like, it was like Jenga. You'd have to like move one thing to move the other thing. You know what I'm talking about? And all I wanted to do was just eat some mashed potatoes, okay? That mashed potatoes and pumpkin pie, and I'm good to go. But so we'd be doing this whole, like, moving the thing around, and somebody would skip the gravy, and we had to pass the gravy from one plate to one side to the other side. It was just a huge mess, right? And all I wanted to do was eat, okay? And then occasionally my mom would go like this. Hey, before we eat, let's share what we're thankful for. Are you serious, Mom? You know, and I would do that in my head. And we would have to, so anybody familiar with this process? Okay, I know. And so I guess at Thanksgiving, you probably should be thankful, correct? But I just really wanted my food at the time because that was the main event. And I enjoyed that. So, but you'll be doing that probably this Thursday also. And so as I was approaching this week, there's a couple questions kind of were floating around in my brain along with other things. But one was this, why is being thankful important? Why is it important? No, it sounds like a good idea, doesn't it? And growing up, my mom and dad told me I should be thankful for them, right? And so it sounds like it's important. It sounds kind of moral. Doesn't thankful sounds kind of moral? But like, why is it important? And then the other question that was floating around in my brain was regarding this verse in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. It says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And as I thought about this verse, I'm like, how do I do that verse, be thankful in all circumstances, without being fake, right? So like, so some of you, like, you had car problems this week, right? And so your car breaks down. It's really hard to go, awesome, praise God, my car is broken again, right? That's kind of hard to do, right? You know, or let's say your boss goes, hey, I need to work late on Friday night. It's hard to go, oh, thank you, Jesus. I wanted to work late on a Friday night. You know, it's hard to do. Or, you know, on a more serious note, if you get like a bad news from the doctor, it's hard to leave the doctor's office going, you know, God, I want to thank you for that. That was great news, you know? And so how do you be thankful in all circumstances without being fake or suppressing or ignoring all that your that sadness? Because that's not healthy either. So as those questions were kind of floating around in my brain this week as I was thinking about this message. So we're going to explore thankfulness today. And hopefully we will kind of resolve those questions. So Luke 17 says this. By the way, Luke 17 was in my devotional time today. I'm like, as I'm reading my devotional, I'm like, I'm talking about this today. So anyways, Luke 17 says this. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. So they had leprosy. They had been excluded from everybody else. So that's why they call out from a distance. In verse 14, it says this. When he saw them, he said, go, show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. This is kind of cool. Usually in Jesus' healings, he's like, be healed or be cured or whatever. And it happens. This time, Jesus just said, go to the priest and be thankful that you're clean. And apparently, as they trusted, they were cleaned. Verse 15, one of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. And so Luke does this a lot. Luke frequently points out the fact that these Samaritans and these Gentiles were responding to Jesus unlike the Jews at the time. Verse 17, Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." So 10 men were healed, and only one came back to thank Jesus. Now, this leprosy thing was a huge issue for them at that time, okay? And so being healed was a big deal. But only one chose to come back and tell Jesus thank you. One made the effort, one took the time, and one made the choice to be thankful. You guys, the reality is this. Thankfulness is a proactive choice. It is something that you choose to do. 9 guys were excited they were healed, and they just kept on going home, or wherever else they were going. But one person made the choice to come back and thank Jesus for what he has done. It's not dependent on the circumstances. These guys had the same circumstances, right? They had the same condition, the same healing, but only one chose to be thankful. A lot of times we think that our thankfulness is dependent on the circumstances, and the reality is it's not. Thankfulness is a proactive choice. We can decide if we're going to be thankful or not. Philippians 4 says this, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I'll say rejoice." Wait, as I read this, I want you to notice the commands or instructions, okay? "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice." That's a command or an instruction. Paul isn't saying, "Hey, when you wake up happy, sing a song." No, he just says, "Rejoice." Verse 5, "Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand." Verse 6, "Do not be anxious about anything." That's another command. "But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." So don't be anxious, but ask God for help with these things while you're thanking him. Okay, verse 7, this is the result of all those previous instructions. "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." So if you rejoice, if you let reasonableness be known, if you choose not to be anxious but give your request to God and you're thankful, the result is peace of God. Verse 8, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things." Another command, think about these things. "What you have learned and received and heard in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you." So this passage has a bunch of directions, okay? They're not options, they're not suggestions, they're not just good ideas. They're commands or instructions, which means that we have the ability to do them. Okay, so when God asks us to do something, he gives us the ability to do it. So when he says rejoice always, we have the ability to do it. When he says think on these things, we have the ability to do it. We have a choice. Colossians 3 has a similar command, says this, "And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." So in everything we do, we should be giving thanks to God the Father. And why should we do this? James 1:17, "Every good gift and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change." So here's the idea. There's a number, lots of verses here, but the idea is this, that we can choose to be thankful. As we go through our daily lives, we can take the time and be thankful for things that are going on. And this one verse says, "In all things we should be giving thanks." So that means you could be giving thanks for your breakfast or your meals. You could be giving thanks when you get your paycheck. You could be giving thanks when you're driving through town and you see something that, you know, grabs your attention. And the idea here is that we're constantly choosing to be thankful. Now, there's this funny video I showed a couple years ago. We're going to show it here again, okay? But before you show it, how many of you guys are fans of NASCAR? Okay. I know we're not in NASCAR country, okay? So let me just clarify how this works in NASCAR. If you've ever watched a driver after a NASCAR race, when he's talking, he has to use as many advertisements as possible. Okay, here we go. Dustin, what's that movie, the Disney movie with the cars? Oh, Cars! Yeah, okay, cool. Okay, so the one car's nickname is Stickers. Remember Stickers, right? He calls them Stickers. And this kid's got stickers everywhere. So he's a driving advertisement. And so you're going to enjoy this prayer. So are we ready? Fire away.
Ladies and gentlemen, please rise as our colors are presented by the United States Army Nashville Recruiting Battalion. We ask you to remain standing for our invocation delivered tonight by Joe Nels, pastor of Family Baptist Church in Lebanon, Tennessee. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for all your blessings. You said in all things give thanks. So we want to thank you tonight for these mighty machines that you brought before us. Thank you for the Dodges and the Toyotas. Thank you for the Fords. And most of all, we thank you for Roush and Yates partnering to give us the power that we see before us tonight. Thank you for GM Performance Technology and the R07 engines. Thank you for Sunoco Racing Fuel and Goodyear Tires that bring performance and power to the track. Lord, I want to thank you for my smoking hot wife tonight, Lisa. My two children, Eli and Emma, or as we like to call them, the Little E's. Lord, I pray you bless the drivers and use them tonight. May they put on a performance worthy of this great track. In Jesus' name, boogity, 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 amen.
So,
now, ladies and gentlemen, please remain standing.
Okay, so that guy may have taken this direction to an extreme, okay? But I share that to you because I want you to remember that we can be thankful in all circumstances. And the idea is this, we are looking for things to be thankful for, okay? Paul says, give thanks to God. In everything you do, give thanks to God. So the idea here is, so he's quoting, you know, he's like Ford, Chevy, whatever, all his cars, stuff like that. But the idea here is this, as we go through our lives, we are looking for things to be thankful for. Now you're like, why? Thankfulness opens our eyes to more reasons to be thankful. So a person who is thankful and a person who wants more, a person who believes they deserve what they have, they're going to see the same situation completely different. Okay, let me say it again. The person who is thankful, the person who... who wants more, or the person who believes they deserve what they have, are going to see the same situation completely different. Even though they share the same circumstances, like those 10 guys, right? Even though they share the same circumstances, they're going to react differently. Why? Because their perspectives are different. So some of you guys have probably noticed this. Let's say you paint your house. Okay, and you go to Lowe's and you pick out like this really cool paint that nobody else has. And you paint your house, and after you paint your house, after you've been staring at that special color of white, you know, like some weird name they have for white, as you start driving through your neighborhood, you can discover, oh my gosh, there's a lot of people who have the same color I do. Right? Or I remember when I bought my first PT Cruiser. I know. Okay, so I bought my first PT Cruiser, but after I bought it, I swear everybody was driving a PT Cruiser. They were like everywhere. And then I bought my Elantra, and I'm like, oh my gosh, everybody's driving an Elantra. Right? There's like 10 in our parking lot. So, but what happens is this. As we see something, our brain gets used to that shape or that color, okay? And then it helps our brains to see that over and over again. I'm going to use like an idea from school, okay? So they would say that our brains are plastic. And the idea behind that is this, is that our brains can be changed. So a lot of times we think that our brains cannot be changed. We're like, well, this is just who I am and I'm stuck with who I am. And the reality is that is not true, okay? Our brains are actually very moldable. There's certain parts of your brain, there's certain things, you know, in different segments. You guys, Carson... Dr. Ben Carson, who ran for president a while back, he's famous for he's famous for the surgery, okay, where he actually removed half a brain from somebody, okay? And what happened was this, whatever side was left that wasn't usually involved in certain things had to adapt to take on those tasks that were missing, okay? So this whole left side of the brain, whichever side was left, had to totally adapt and take on functions it wasn't used to. The brain can be changed and can be adapted. And so the idea here is this. When we start looking for things to be thankful for, we see things to be thankful for, Okay, so the idea here is we're reprogramming our brain. It's almost like God knew what he was thinking when he wrote this. Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what the will of God is, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So it's amazing how God's truth is backed up by science thousands of years later, huh? But so we can transform our brains by the renewing of our minds. So we can change what we think, what we see. So thankfulness opens our eyes to more reasons to be thankful. Okay? So when you choose to be thankful, you're actually rewiring your brain. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, but some people are, you know, the glass is half full, some people the glass is half empty, okay, and we think, well, that's just who I am. Actually, that can be changed, okay? So you're training your brain to see things that you can be thankful for. You can train your brain to see what you want or see what you have. Okay? You can train your brain to see your spouse's good qualities or your spouse's bad qualities. You can train your brain to like your car or hate your car or like your neighbor's car instead. You realize that? So this is why, sorry to use my school stuff, but it all relates, okay? So this is why, like, if you were to go into couples therapy someday, okay? And regardless of where you're at now in your relationship, if you got married, there's a good chance you liked each other early on, correct? Okay. So there was things that you liked, and you saw those qualities, right? And then you get to therapy, your therapist can ask you, so what do you like about your spouse? And it's possible that now that you're in counseling, you may not like your spouse as much, right? That's a reasonable assumption. And so the therapist asks you, what do you like about your spouse? And inwardly, you're thinking, oh my goodness, my list is short right now. A long time ago, the list was really long, but now you're having trouble, the list is short. Why? Because your brain has been focusing on the negatives of your spouse. And the therapist is going to ask you, well, what's good about your spouse? Why? Because he's trying to rewire your brain. Okay, he wants you to start thinking what you like about your spouse. And so the idea here is this, is when we choose to be thankful, we are rewiring our brains. So this past year, we've had a moment of thankfulness almost every Sunday. Now, I know I don't look like the smartest guy on the planet, okay? But there was a point to it, okay? There was an idea, there was a strategy behind this. And so I wanted us as a church and as individuals to focus on what we have rather than what we don't have. Isn't it easy to focus on what we don't have? Okay, you know, like, and so, you know, as a church, you know, we're not the biggest church out there. We don't have what other churches might have. So what I wanted us to decide was to focus on what we do have. And throughout the year, I think we've discovered there's a lot of great things going on in our congregation, right? Because we have been looking for things like that instead. And so I wanted our church to become more aware of what God has done for us. And so we spent time each Sunday being thankful. And I don't know about you, but like when somebody was sharing something, I'm listening, I would go, hey, I hadn't thought about that. Or I'm like, oh, I could have said the same thing, right? Joel's here, he's talking about how he enjoys coming to church and worshiping with you guys, right? And I'm like, I could have said that. That's me too, you know? And when somebody else is sharing there, you know, then you the idea is this, as we hear things and we voice our thankfulness, we become more aware. Which leads us to our next point. Thankfulness reveals God's faithfulness to us. We hear a couple different psalms. Psalms 9 says this, I will give thanks to you, Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of all your wonderful deeds. I'll be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing the praises of your name, O Most High. The next one, Psalm 95 says this, O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. Why? For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hands are the depths of the earth. The heights of the mountains are his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the sheep of his hand. One more. Psalm 100 says this, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him, bless his name, for the Lord is good, and his steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. Thankfulness reveals God's faithfulness to us. You see, as followers of Christ, we kind of recognize that all good things come from God. Okay, and so when we're sitting at a Thanksgiving table and we're thanking God for the food, we're thanking him because we trust that he gave it to us. We're not thanking ourselves. Hey, I'm really darn proud of myself for providing this food. That's not thankfulness, right? And so we recognize that all these things come from God. And so as we are thankful, we begin to see how he's been working in our lives in the present and in the past, right? We see that this pattern of his faithfulness where he provided this. And when this happened, he provided this. When this happened, he provided this. A couple, six months ago, I was writing this paper. And this is a bummer. I had to write all the bad things in my life. That's like the opposite of being thankful, right? And so up and down of my life, like a timeline. This was good. This was horrible. This was good. This was horrible. And it was an emotional experience. I highly do not recommend it. Okay. But in the process, what I discovered was this, that at every low point, God provided a new friend. Isn't that kind of cool? And I was like, this happened. And then this person was there. And then this happened. And then this person showed up. And this happened. And I'm like, weird. Like maybe God was in control, right? After this 20-year period, I'm like, every time something bad happened, God brought a new friend in my life to get me through this. And so the paper was not really the most enjoyable paper, but as I left the paper, I was thankful for the fact that God had provided key people in my life at different stages. So as you focus on being thankful, you're going to notice that God has been faithful to you. He's provided what you needed. And sometimes he didn't give you what you wanted because it would have been bad for you, right? And so thankfulness reveals God's faithfulness to you. So I put these ideas together here, okay? When we proactively choose to be thankful, our eyes will see even more reasons to be thankful. And we will see God's faithfulness to us. So when this takes place, you guys, thankfulness is like an ongoing quality of our life. It's not a task. It's not something we do on Sundays or on Thanksgiving, but it actually becomes like this part of our life. So think about this. Let's say today, you decide you're going to be proactive in thankfulness. You're going to make that a part of every day. You're going to spend some time being thankful, okay? And you choose to do that, and you start to do that. And then as you do that, you just begin to see more reasons to be thankful. Actually, it becomes easier. It's like riding a bike downhill, okay? You start pedaling, and the next thing you're just going, right? And so you're just becoming more and more thankful, and you begin to see how God was faithful to you, like in elementary school and junior high and high school and college and adult life and marriage and all that stuff. You see how he's been faithful to you. And then when something difficult happens, what do you lean on? It's this whole history of what you saw, how God worked with you, right? And you realize that when this tragedy happened, that God used it and drew you closer to him. And when this difficult thing happened, how God provided a friend to show up. And when this happened and you couldn't pay for that bill and money just showed up from somewhere. And you see that this pattern of where God has been faithful to you time and again. And when something new happens, you don't freak out. Because you can be thankful because you've seen how God has worked in the past. Do you see that? And so that verse that says, give thanks in all circumstances, you don't have to be fake. You don't have to go, well, God, I'm so glad that horrible thing happened to me. Praise Jesus. And you don't have to be fake about it, because what happens is this. You see that event, but you see all the thankful reasons around it, and you see that God's faithfulness, how he's been faithful to you from the beginning. And you look at this current circumstances and you see it differently. You see this difficult challenge in your life, but you see it differently because you have eyes of thankfulness not fakeness, but you've been, this is who you are now. And so you see this, and you see that faithful God in the circumstances. And so when something difficult happens, you're not necessarily thankful, hey, I love this bad news. What you're saying is, God, I'm thankful that you're here with me, and this scares me, or I'm worried about this, but I've seen for years you've been faithful, and I know you're going to take care of this one also, and I'm thankful for your presence in this situation, just like you've been before. And so this verse that Paul gives us, it's really the result of a pattern of thankfulness. It's not denying your fears. It's not being fake. It's just a genuine response on how you've seen God work in your life up to that point. So today the challenge is not to feel thankful or to be thankful when things get better. The challenge is to choose to be thankful now. Start looking for reasons to be thankful. Do this every day. And this practice will change your view of your life and God's faithfulness to you. Just a quick side note. This works in relationships also. Okay? When you choose to be thankful for certain things in your relationships, it could be your kids or your parents or your spouse or boyfriend or girlfriend, whatever the situation is, as you begin to see things you're thankful for, you're going to notice more things you're thankful for. Okay, it's a reprogramming of what your brain pays attention to. So the challenge is, so in that situation with your relationships, it's not like, well, I'll be thankful when they're nice to me. I'll be thankful when they clean their room without asking. That could take a long time, right? Okay? I'll be thankful when she makes me coffee in the morning. Or I'll be thankful, whatever the case, whatever your dream world is, okay? The reality is, it ain't going to happen, okay? So the idea is this, you choose to be thankful now, and you will begin to see more things to be thankful for. Okay, so that's it.